Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, everyone. Happy Tuesday. We're rolling right into this. Tons of stories. And there's a new word that I want you all to keep on your radar. It's not unexpectedly, as Howie always says, it's suddenly. That's the new key word. Suddenly. Everything's changing so suddenly. And I'm going to read that to you right now. From the Washington Post, from Glenn Kessler. I'm not a big fan of Glenn Kessler. I know him from his fact-checking of Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina, who said he fact-checked his ancestry. And nothing about his ancestry was incorrect. Tim Scott didn't lie. But that was what Glenn Kessler thought was worth spending his time on. You know, there was more to that tale. Did Tim Scott really go from cotton to Congress in one generation? Yes, he did, actually. But his family owned the farm where he picked cotton. So that just gives you an idea of what Glenn Kessler's all about, what kind of fact checker and truth seeker he really is. And so he has an article out today, and it's Timeline: How the Wuhan Lab Leak Theory Suddenly Became Credible. And you guys have probably noticed this shift recently. Dr. Fauci, just the other day, we're going to play the sound here. He suddenly, say that word again, after a full year of dismissing and debunking and kind of just looking his nose down at any sort of idea that maybe this virus could have originated from the Wuhan lab, now he suddenly is having a change of heart. Let's play that.
But no, I'm not convinced about that. I think that we should continue to investigate what went on in China until we find out, to the best of our ability, exactly what happened. Certainly, the people who've investigated say it likely was the emergence from an animal reservoir that then infected individuals, but it could have been something else, and we need to find that out. So, you know, that's the reason why I said I'm perfectly in favor of any investigation that looks into the origin of the virus.
Oh, that's good to know. Because for a while, it didn't seem like you were in favor of it at all. But now you're perfectly in favor of it. So that's wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Fauci. So Glenn Kessler writes this piece, Timeline: How the Wuhan Lab Leak Theory Suddenly Became Credible. And he goes through why it was dismissed from the beginning. You know, because we really need an epic breakdown of just why this theory wasn't given any weight in the beginning. When in truth, we all know exactly why. It's because the mainstream media is full of liars. And since Donald Trump floated the idea and said he had evidence of it, they went against it. Because that's how their logic works. It's pretzel bending, idiotic logic. If Trump says something, they do the exact opposite. And so Trump had said that he thought this could have started in a Wuhan lab. It makes sense. Like I said yesterday, it doesn't take, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist and connect all these dots to go, oh, they have a lab in Wuhan that studies deadly viruses. Maybe that's where this deadly virus came from. But that's what the mainstream media did. And there's, I mean, I'm going to talk a lot about Rand Paul because he definitely did bring up the gain of function to Dr. Fauci. But don't forget Senator Tom Cotton. This guy, they made him out to be Mel Gibson in that movie about aliens. They really had a tinfoil hat on this man. And he was 1,000% right. And it's not even saying that we know for sure that's where it started, but he was right to be critical. He was right to be skeptical. He was right to ask questions. And now Glenn Kessler is here to tell us why there was this sudden shift. Trump's statements that the virus emerged from the Wuhan Institute, he wrote, renewed questions about the virus's origin brought a rush of alternative theories. This is what Glenn Kessler says. Let's be clear. No scientist we spoke to thinks the new coronavirus was designed as a bioweapon. So he conflated this idea that to say the virus started in a lab means you're also saying that it was created as a bioweapon, when a lot of people were not saying that. But here's the funniest part about Glenn Kessler. So he comes out with this article today, how it's suddenly okay to question where this virus started. And back in May of 2020, Ted Cruz actually tweeted out about the Wuhan lab. And this is what Glenn Kessler, fact checker extraordinaire, this is what he wrote back. I fear Ted Cruz missed the scientific animation in the video that shows how it is virtually impossible for this virus jump from the lab, or the many interviews with actual scientists. We deal in facts, and viewers can judge for themselves. You deal in garbage, Glenn Kessler. You deal in absolute nonsense. That is why every single article you post and put on your Twitter gets more replies than it does likes. You get ratioed every time because one story's stupider than the next. And all your old tweets, they age like milk. You make Jennifer Rubin look wise, like she's got her finger on the pulse of what's going on. And she doesn't. When in truth, this is all about TDS. This is all about everyone U-turning now because they realize that Trump once again was on to something. I'll never forget. Trump looked at Peter Alexander during one of the COVID task force press conferences and he said, we'll see, but I'm right a lot. And it's absolutely true. He's right about things. And I remember when he was coming up with the Lysol theory, and I remember I called my dad. I said, oh, God. What is he doing up there? And my dad said, that's what he does. He wants to fix things. He's an idea guy. He gets up and he starts spitballing. And we were both like, yeah, he definitely shouldn't do that anymore. But that is one thing he does, is that he thinks like a regular person would think. So if you're a regular person and you go, wait, we're funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan and a deadly virus breaks out of Wuhan, but we think it's from a meat market and not from the lab? That doesn't make any sense. It's just common sense. But they went so far out of the way of common sense so they could hate Trump. And so in turn, they could love and praise and gush and fawn over Dr. Anthony Fauci. And he is a big time player in this. I thought it was very interesting. Tucker Carlson broke down exactly how absurd it is to think that Dr. Fauci just read about this in the newspaper. He's like Barack Obama, you know? He reads it at the same time that you read it. He reads it, you know, the second Bernie Sanders grabs a Wall Street Journal off his neighbor's doormat, that's the same time Dr. Fauci gets the news. So listen to Tucker Carlson last night, cut four.
Fauci's own employer, the U.S. government, publicly released compelling evidence that the virus he devotes his life to fighting escaped from the very biolab that Tony Fauci has sent American tax dollars to fund. And yet somehow Tony Fauci was totally unaware of this. He didn't know it till he read this weekend's Wall Street Journal. It was news to him, bolt from the sky. Totally new information. Can we believe him when he says that? No, of course we can't. In fact, this show has heard that on or about November 19th, 2019, right around those time those Chinese researchers became the first COVID patients on planet Earth, the government of Thailand contacted the CDC and Tony Fauci's office to say that its intel service had picked up biological anomalies around the lab in Wuhan. In other words, there had been a leak. Now, we can't confirm that the Thai government sent this message, though we believe the Thai government did. We do know that several other allied foreign governments, including the governments of France and Australia, have gathered evidence showing the virus escaped from a Chinese lab. Yet Tony Fauci, who runs the whole thing, didn't know any of this? Come on, of course he knew. Fauci, in fact, has known from the beginning that the virus may well have come from that lab. Many people have known that, but Fauci lied about it for more than a year.
You know what I say to Tucker Carlson? Stop spewing that already debunked conspiracy theory. You sound insane.
You sound insane. Do you realize that?
You sound insane, Tucker. Put on your tinfoil hat. Go back to your QAnon blogs. That's ridiculous. Dr. Fauci is a saint.
We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
I bet you did, Panama Red. I bet you did. There was some collaboration going on. New York Times wrote, Senator Tom Cotton repeats fringe theory of coronavirus origins. And then now the New York Times, another group of scientists call for further inquiry into origins of the coronavirus. Senator Tom Cotton repeats fringe theory. This is what they do. This is what they do. And if you don't believe me, then now the spin, because sometimes something happens, it's so insane to try to blame Trump. That's how I felt with Israel-Palestine. I'm like, how are they going to pin this on Trump? David Frum did. He was like, ugh, Jared Kushner and Donald Trump bragged so much about their peace in the Middle East. I'm thinking, you're not making the point that you think you are making at all. But they always manage to do it. And now Maggie Haberman from the New York Times, I believe that's who she writes for. She was on with John Berman from CNN. And once again, don't blame it on the sunshine. Don't blame it on the moonlight. Don't blame it on the good times. Blame it on Donald J. Trump. Cut one.
Part of the issue when this was first being reported on and discussed back a few months after the pandemic had begun was that then President Trump and Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, both suggested they had seen evidence that this was formed in a lab, and they also suggested it was not released on purpose, but they refused to release the evidence showing what it was. And so because of that, that made this instantly political. I think that it was, you know, example 1000 when the Trump administration learned that when you have burned your own credibility over and over again, people are not immediately going to believe you.
When you've burned your own credibility over and over again, people are not going to believe you. This woman is saying this on CNN. Does anyone else feel like they're living in an alternate universe? This is insane. The lack of self-awareness, the lack of self-reflection is mind-blowing.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
It's a Will Ferrell kind of day. I mean, it just is. It took my breath away when I heard her say that, when you've burned your credibility over and over again. What, like with the Russia hoax? Do you know how many times you guys burned your credibility with that? With everything, saying that we weren't going to have a vaccine for another, 5 years? Wrong. You know, saying that when Trump took over, when Trump won the presidency, the market would crash. Wrong. Saying that Trump would start new wars. Wrong. How many times do they have to be wrong? Until we suddenly stop believing them. I stopped believing them a long, long time ago. Okay, we'll take your calls. I'm fired up. I'm sure you guys are too. There's also an outrageous headline in the New York Times. I haven't seen anything like this in quite some time. This really is, it's insane how offensive their latest headline is. 844-500-4242. Also, new text line 63566. Text Curly to join my text line. A lot of people have been asking about that. So that's good news. We'll be back with your calls on the other side. This is the Grace Curly Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curly. This is the Grace Curly Show.
Wow. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We have a lot more to get to, but first, let's do the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin, handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps. Love your soap, love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's, CapeLily.com.
My bar ran out this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I just opened a new one. I got the oatmeal one, and it has little flakes of real oatmeal in it.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, my charcoal and coconut oil ran out this morning, so
great.
I got a reorder.
Everyone should check out CapeLily.com. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Which publication is a bigger embarrassment, the New York Times or the Washington Post?
Well, that brings me to my next story. And for today, because I think this headline really takes the New York Times to a complete new low, I'm going to go with The Gray Lady.
71% say The New York Times to 29% who say The Washington Post.
Now, don't forget, The Washington Post, they have some austere religious leader type headlines that would blow your mind. But when I read you this one, I mean, it takes it over the top. You've heard of pouncing. You've heard of seizing. You've heard of weaponizing. But now, according to Michelle Goldberg in the New York Times, attacks on Jews over Israel are a gift to the right. You heard that correctly. Attacks on Jews over Israel are a gift to the right. She doesn't say attacks on Jews are terrible or reprehensible. No, it's somehow the story about the terrible, brutal attacks that are happening all over the United States right now against Jews and all over the world. Somehow, the story becomes its relation to the right, how it's benefiting somehow the right. It's offensive, it's obscene, and it's a level of stupidity that I can't believe it gets published. John, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Grace. The most common sense, I mean, obvious evidence that this came from a lab came from the former CDC leader, Robert Redfield. And he said, even though these zoonotic viruses, you know, they've been around forever, for them to jump from human to human takes years and years, if not at all. And he said we're supposed to believe that this all happened within a period of weeks.
Yeah. And there's a Hill article. It says former FDA chief, growing circumstantial evidence that COVID could have come out of a lab. And Glenn Greenwald, who I think is phenomenal, said it's stunning how quickly in mainstream sectors this traveled from insane, unhinged conspiracy theory that must be censored from the internet as harmful disinformation to serious and plausible possibility for which rational evidence exists. Let's learn lessons from this. Spoiler alert.
That escalated quickly.
Spoiler alert, Glenn. We will learn no lessons from this. No lessons will be learned. And there's been a ton of regular people who have made this point, but there's also been doctors and scientists who have signed letters and said, we need to investigate this. You know, China investigating their own lab is not going to cut it. It's not going to get to the bottom of it. And I'm just shocked that it took this long for all of these people to make this incredibly transparent U-turn, which actually, before we go to break here, and we will move on for a little bit from this, but at 1:30, we're having Stephen Miller on from Spectator, and he's at Red Stees on Twitter, and he's got a piece out, don't let the media get away with U-turning on the lab leak theory. We will get into all of this. There's a ton of news out there. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Speaking of U-turns, did you see the Governor Gretchen Whitmer, big fan of pizza, said that she's actually changing up the tables? So she went to this restaurant, Landshark Bar and Grill, And she moved tables together, enjoyed herself, had fun without a mask on, which is wonderful. I totally support that. But she got busted. And it wasn't just her. Her COO, I think her name's Trisha Foster, was there too. And now the next day, guess what? You can have more than six people at a table. NBD. Change up. It's not as much that the whole thing is ridiculous. It's just how non-subtle they are about all of these changes. It's like someone comes forward and says, Andrew Cuomo groped me. And he's like, you know what? Increase it to 75%. We'll throw him a bone. Like, do they not think that we're smart enough to figure out that this is all get out of jail free cards? And every time they get in trouble, they say something else like, you know what? I'm doing a terrible job, but now you can sit at a bar and you don't have to get pretzels and it will still count.
They have pretty good pizza.
They have pretty good pizza. All right. So I wanted to do right now a worst take of the day. Haven't done this in a while. This is where I find the worst, stupidest, most insane tweet, and I read it to you.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Now, this is White House correspondent for the Huffington Post, so it's a pretend serious person, and their name is SV Date on Twitter.
SV Date. He was the one that actually asked Donald Trump if he would apologize for lying over the years during that briefing.
Like I said, pretend serious person. And so this person asks SV Date, United 93 was intended to crash into the Capitol. Do you think January 6th was worse than that? This person, SV Date, writes back, 1,000% worse. 1,000% worse. Ah. And actually a switch up here, not the worst take of the day, but a response to a previous worst take of the day. I don't know if you saw this, Jared. Mark Ruffalo, the actor, who actually my brother ran into one time at the State House, took a picture with him. And every time he's in the news, I'm like, I can't believe you took a picture with that guy. He is such a fraud. I think he's the Incredible Hulk. That's, you know, his main role. But I guess at one point, because, you know, he's a political science expert and he always wants to weigh in on the conflict between Israel and Palestine, which I hear is pretty complicated. You know, as someone who's talked to people about it, I try to learn as much as I can before I speak on it because it's been going on for quite some time. Mark Ruffalo did not do that. He decided just to spew his opinions on it, and now he's backtracking. And it did kind of seem like hostage video style, this apology. Like some sort of boss or company might have said, hey, you got to do this or else you're going to be in trouble. He said, I have reflected and wanted to apologize for posts during the recent Israel-Hamas fighting that suggested Israel is committing genocide. It's not accurate, it's inflammatory, disrespectful, and is being used to justify anti-Semitism here and abroad. Now is the time to avoid hyperbole. So that is an update. I don't doubt that he wishes he hadn't said it, because it's insane, but alas. And the next thing I actually wanted to get to here is, I saw this today in the post-millennial, and I think people will get a kick out of it. It's a little bit lighter. If you want to call in and talk about something else, we will go to Fauci later in the 1 o'clock and gain of function and all that good stuff. But I just had to fill you guys in on this. Training in gender identity required for NYC employees. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is because I think if I read you this story and then I go over some of the actual problems happening in the world, it's going to really highlight and expose what the left is focusing on and like what their priorities are. Their priorities are stupid. There's no other way for me to say it. Training in gender identity required for NYC employees. New York City employees are now required to complete an online training session developed by the city that goes into gender expression and sexual harassment. I do think this is appropriate for a safe space. moment, Jared.
In my safe space.
My safe space.
Included as part of the city-created training is a video discussing gender and sexuality, screenshots of which were obtained by the Daily Wire's Merid McArdle. We like to define people, right? A man says, explaining perceptions of gender identity. So when people are born, society defines them by looking at their reproductive organs and labels them male or female. All right, so it seems like this person has a good grasp of how things work. One scene shows a woman at a sonogram appointment where she excitedly says, "It's a girl." A woman responds saying, "Well, actually, it's more complicated than that." What is this, a PolitiFact checker? That's what they do every time. "Well, there's more to it than that." Six people go on to describe their gender after this statement: a cisgender woman and man, a transgender woman and man, and two non-binary people. "I'm a trans woman. I identify as a woman, even though when I was born, I was assigned something different." A man holding a baby in a blue blanket says, "Aw, it's a boy," to which Tamara responds, "No," and removes the blue blanket to reveal a pink one.
"Mija, you're worth it."
Two people who describe themselves as non-binary go on to state what that means to them. "For me, that means that I don't identify as either a woman or a man."
Two non-binary people? Isn't that like four people?
"And for me, that means I don't identify with gender at all," says Lindsay. The video describes gender and sexuality as both part of our identities, yet completely different categories. So don't assume someone's sexuality based on their gender, says one woman.
"It's science."
In one scene, a long-haired biological male sporting a necklace, hair bow, and shawl states that there's no way to express masculinity or femininity. "Let me ask you something. If you're a cis man, do you need a plaid shirt, bulging muscles, to have no room for tears, to love sports? No. This might work for some and not others. Why? Because there's no way to express masculinity or femininity. That's for you to decide." This is what the New York City employees are training with. And if that doesn't scare you, this is what the CIA and the FBI and the DOJ and the Border Patrol, they're all going to start taking these classes soon too. And then meanwhile, because everything's offensive, you know, if you see the baby wrapped in a pink blanket, if you're the mom, that's the craziest part of this. If you're the mom and you yell out in excitement, "It's a girl," there's going to be some woke social justice warrior standing over your shoulder in the delivery room going, "Wait a second." It's like Debbie Downer. Wah, wah. And then meanwhile, here are some issues that the left does not care about at all. 17,000 tweet, "Hitler was right," and big tech barely reacts. So yesterday, Meghan McCain went on one of her little monologues on The View, and she talked about anti-Semitism, and she made some really great points. So then naturally, because Twitter is a dumpster fire of awfulness, people started tweeting hashtag fire Meghan McCain. And that was because she defended Israel, I believe, and she defended Jewish people. Twitter is also a place where variations of the phrase "Hitler was right" were posted more than 17,000 times in just a 1 week span. In a disturbing example, the anti-Semitic hashtag COVID-1948 has been trending on Twitter in several countries, including the United States. That's because the hashtag likens the birth of the state of Israel in 1948 to the COVID-19 virus. While we've seen President Donald Trump and countless numbers of his supporters booted off Twitter service, it seems the people who tweet out "Hitler was right" are totally fine. In fact, some of them work at CNN. Don't let that destroy your faith, though, in the integrity of CNN, because as Maggie Haberman put it, we'd hate for them to burn their credibility. Also, speaking of the Party of Tolerance, suspicious package with white powder sent to Senator Rand Paul's home. A threatening letter and unidentified white powder were sent to Senator Rand Paul's Kentucky home. The FBI and Capitol Police are investigating whether the substance was dangerous. The envelope had a picture of a bruised and bandaged Paul with a gun to his head, and it said, "I'll finish what your neighbor started, you mother bleeper." But again, I mean, we can't blame the left for one crazy person, but they can certainly blame us for anything. Rand Paul, and I saw somebody make this point today. He's so smart, and the people who love him tend to be smart, and the people who hate him tend to be Looney Tunes. Because this guy, whether it was the broken ribs, he was at the congressional softball practice, this guy's been through the ringer, and he's still not afraid. If people are sending you packages with, "I'll finish what your neighbor started," I hate to say this, but you're getting to the bottom of something, because otherwise, why would these people be so unhinged? You're doing something right. When we get back, I'll take some of your calls. We'll talk a little bit more about Governor Gretchen Whitmer and her sudden U-turn. A lot of U-boats happening lately. And also, a little bit later on, we will talk about Red Steez, Stephen Miller's latest piece in The Spectator. Howie's very excited to hear that, so don't go anywhere. Hotels, vets, and dentists all have purchased multiple units of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, holding it up for you guys right now. Jared, tell everybody, especially right now, why this is so important to get.
This has been such a brutal allergy season. Anybody who has allergies, you're just overwhelmed by the scratchy throat, the runny nose, the watery eyes, the sniffles, your ears, everything. You're just miserable because of the amount of pollen. But if you get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, you will not be miserable, because all you have to do is you can plug it in, turn it on, and within minutes, it starts purifying the air around you. It gets rid of pollen. It gets rid of allergens, gets rid of viruses, any pollutants, anything in the air that's nasty that makes breathing hard, because it ionizes the air to create super oxygen, and that is what you're breathing. It is a godsend if you have allergies.
Yeah, I actually used it last night. We had breakfast for dinner, so I was cooking up some eggs and bacon, and that stuff gets stinky. So I just turned on the thunderstorm, cleared it away within minutes. The house doesn't even smell like you cooked anything in there. It's really unbelievable. Make sure you get this. It works in hours, and the best part is you don't have to replace any air filters, which I know for lazy people like myself is a huge plus. The Eden Pure Air Purifier can handle pet, kitchen, or tobacco odors. And right now, we have a very special deal for our listeners only. You can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. That means you'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. Go to EdenPure.com, put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE3. This special is 1 week only. You can get one for your kitchen, for your car, for your basement. Maybe give one to a friend if you want. It's a great deal. We'll be back. We'll take some of your calls. What do you guys think about all this? Are you a fan of the safe space? Are you a fan of the it's a girl, wait a second, no, it's more complicated world that we now live in? And I want to talk about the media. I mean, I cannot believe how far they've fallen. 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Safe space. You're listening to the Grace Curley Show.
Was I wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
All right, so I want to do a flashback to Dr. Fauci, what he was saying. I think this is last year about the COVID lab theory. He was on a virtual video and someone asked him, you know, about whether or not this could have come from the lab. And this is what he had to say. Cut three.
If you look at the evolution of the virus in bats and what's out there now, it's very, very strongly leaning towards this could not have been artificially or deliberately manipulated, the way the mutations have naturally evolved. A number of very qualified evolutionary biologists have said that everything about the stepwise evolution over time strongly indicates that it evolved in nature and then jumped species.
very qualified, that coming from Dr. Fauci. Can we quote you on that, good sir? Now, listen to Dr. Fauci, I believe this was yesterday or the day before, talking about this sudden change of heart he's had.
But no, I'm not convinced about that. I think that we should continue to investigate what went on in China until we find out, to the best of our ability, exactly what happened. Certainly, the people who've investigated say it likely was the emergence from an animal reservoir that then infected individuals, but it could have been something else, and we need to find that out.
All right, now, here's the best part of that clip, which I don't think a lot of people know because I didn't figure it out till today. That clip was from a convention, and the convention was called the United Facts of America, a festival of fact-checking. The three-day event, a three-day virtual event, featured special guests, Christiane Amanpour, I believe she's CNN, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Brian Stelter. Was Glenn Kessler not available?
There's no time for potato heads.
Where was Brian Ross and Jim Acosta? Where was Rachel Maddow? A lineup of fact stars, whose ironic energy recalled the USO's telethon execution of Terrence and Phillip before the invasion of Canada in South Park. I read that part for Jared because I have no idea what that episode is about, but I'm sure for some people it makes sense. Tickets were $50 for this virtual event to talk or to hear from, to have him talk at you, to have Brian Stelter, the host of Reliable Sources, talk at you through a screen.
Tickets, looking like a gender-neutral potato head.
Tickets were $50. You could get like three nice bottles of Cabernet for $50.
Or you could just light a $50 bill on fire and get the same out of it.
Get a little heat out of it, at least. A little warmth. Tickets were $50, but if you wanted a private virtual happy hour with Stelter, you needed to pay $100 for the VIP experience.
That sounds like just a terrible idea all around.
Ugh, it all sounds so bad. PolitiFact's Katie Sanders asked Fauci, are you still confident that COVID-19 developed naturally, which is where he just said that cut we had. I cannot get over the fact that this is an event that people went to and paid to go to.
Aren't you embarrassed?
It really makes me nervous for the state of the world. I mean, I know the pandemic's been hard on people, but $50 to hear Dr. Fauci. You can turn on any TV right now and go on any channel, and I almost guarantee you Dr. Fauci will be talking at you for free. And the virtual happy hour, so what does that mean? You pay $100, you talk to Brian Stelter through a computer, and what, you have a cocktail in your hand while you do it?
I would assume, yes, there's some type of martini, probably named after Brian Stelter.
Oh, like a specialty drink?
Like a Steltini or something like that.
Jared, I like that, a Steltini.
Steltini.
Steltini with a little olive, a little anti-Trump drink, whatever that might be. Oh my gosh. And yeah, so he was at the Festival of Facts. That's where Dr. Fauci and Brian Stelter were hanging out. The Festival of Facts. I give up. I officially give up. All right, in the next hour, we have Stephen Miller from Spectator and so much more to get to. So don't go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.